This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back into Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Hope you're enjoying your three-day weekend. If you're on the way to the lake, we appreciate you joining us. If you're hanging out at home, appreciate you joining us. If you're just driving around because you got baseball games and soccer games, whatever it is, glad you took the time to join us here on Sports Saturday in Kansas City. The sun is out right now. I went out onto the one of the decks here at Union Broadcasting and actually stood in the sun for a couple of minutes during that last break because it's been so long. But the news may not be all that great. Jeff Penner, 41 Action News, just tweeting this out a little while ago, tracking three more rounds of thunderstorms. The next widespread round arrives after 8 p.m. tonight, but a few thunderstorms may occur as early as 3 p.m. Flash flooding, wind, hail are all threats. And then, of course, there'll be a third round coming up on Tuesday. So I guess where we stand now is it's just always going to rain. It's just not going to stop for a while. But you wait a couple of weeks and we'll be up to 98 degrees every single day. That's just going to be the way it is right now. So we'll dodge the raindrops, hopefully, long enough to get in the Royals doubleheader at Kauffman Stadium today and then get Sporting KC and Seattle in Sunday at 5 o'clock. And joining us now to talk about that is Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC, Kansas City Wizards defender. Nick, how's your yard holding up with all this rain?
I tell you what, you know, I got some new sod here, November of last year, and I probably couldn't have timed it any better, so I am squishy but great. Thanks for asking.
Well, I need to get some sod down as well, and I kind of missed my window, so hopefully we can get that taken care of. I got to imagine, you know, as some of the folks here know, you run Brookside Soccer and play your games down at Swope Park, and I remember a couple of years ago going over there to help you bail out the storage garage because there was so much water. Are your fields and facilities holding up right now?
You know, we're in great shape. You know, the grass, the turf, all that stuff. And, you know, I think the last big flood we had down there was kind of one of those century marks. But, no issues. I'm actually on my way out now to the Swope Park Foot Golf course as we are hosting a charity event out there for foot golf. So it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. You know, we try to do it every year. You know, and this year all the proceeds will end up going to our scholarship fund. And it's just a great way to do something outside the soccer field, but yet tied to soccer.
Well, whenever I take my kids to Heart of America, we play that par three rock course, and they have the foot golf that runs right through it. And the people who do it always seem to be having a blast. I don't know if it's for me because I can't really kick it all that far, but they seem to have a blast doing it.
Yes, and that's it, right? I mean, it is not a running game. If you're technically good, which I assume you are probably not, or at least you just admitted to, you might kind of struggle. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fun, jovial game. You know, we've got men, women, old and young out there just, you know, having a good time. Our national governing body, Say Soccer, has sent out two reps, and I think Sporting's going to send out a couple of their staff as well. So, yeah, it's about just getting out there, having some fun, some good libations, and some great lunch.
Fantastic. We're speaking with Nick Garcia, talking a little, foot golf and Sporting KC and everything else. And I know with Swope Park and the facilities, especially the turf fields, it's they hold up a lot better because I remember when I coached my oldest when he was, 4 or 5 years old, they were still dirt. And I coached a game, Nick, I swear to God, it rained so hard that my contact lenses almost washed right out of my eyeballs.
And I kind of miss those days. I mean, the grass, the grime, kids getting all the grass stains.
The goose poop.
Kind of not, right? The goose poop. But I tell you what, you know, kids are so spoiled these days. My son had a game on a tournament game last weekend on grass out there at the Rush Fields in Lone Elm. And he finished the game. He's like, I've never been so tired in my life. I said, well, you know why? I said, because you're used to training and playing on turf. So it's kind of one of those weird side effects, right? As an older adult parent, you don't necessarily kind of take into consideration how different it was and how the game has evolved and facilities. And I think it's a good thing, but I think sometimes we just kind of forget where things used to be. But it's all good.
All right. Well, let's talk a little sporting, Nick. And we've been I've kind of been doing that sighing thing for the last few weeks now, just kind of. So let's kind of go back to last week, the game with Vancouver. Sporting scores, you know, right before halftime, right before halftime, get a red card right after halftime. But still, they were holding their own, playing pretty good. And then Vancouver got a red card in like the 73rd minute, so they're playing 10-on-10. And I was like, okay, just get this thing to 90 minutes and we'll be all right. And then 5 minutes go on the clock, and that's when I get nervous, Nick, as a fan. If I see that extra time come up and it's more than 3 minutes, I get really nervous. And that last goal given up was just, well, honestly, it was awful. And I'm sure as a former defender, you probably watched that and thought, what the heck just happened here?
I would agree 100%. You know, Sporting has not had it in their DNA that they are one of these teams that will concede goals late, that they will concede easy goals. And I'm sure it's just mind-boggling to the coaching staff. And yeah, I mean, as a fan, right, you want your team to do well. And when you don't have that confidence, doesn't matter what sport it is, right? American football, baseball, basketball, soccer, if your team can't finish a game, you leave the opportunity for your opponent to kind of come back and punch you in the face. And that's what happened or has happened here too many times, I think, for this Sporting team. And you can say injuries. You can say that the early start because of CONCACAF. You can say new players. But at the end of the day, it is up to the guys. It is up to this coaching staff to prepare and be ready. And I think they've tried to do their best. It just seems like they keep misstepping time and time again. And I tell you what, they're very close to the bottom. You know, I think they're one place away. The worst yep. team in the division is Colorado. You've got three games upcoming, in Seattle, LA Galaxy, and LAFC. And we know those will not be easy games. I happened to catch the game here with the LA Galaxy last night at Orlando. They seem to struggle themselves a little bit. Obviously, they didn't have Zlatan Ibrahimovic because he's finishing up his suspension. So I think Sporting has to at least, at a minimum, you know, win two of these three games to kind of continue to put themselves in a decent position. And if they don't, they will continue to falter more and more and kind of just sit back in the cellar, which, you know, is not something I think this city is used to.
No, and I remember the training grounds at Sewell Park used to have that tote board or I guess the standings in the kitchen area where the players would gather, and I would it would get not depressing, but I would get to the point where I'd walk in and not want to just see it after a while. And then you see Seattle coming in tomorrow night, and you know they're what, second place in the Western Conference right now, and it's just this is a tough stretch. And I know they got the injuries; they already have five players ruled out for tomorrow again. But that's the way it is. You gotta go out and find a way to get some points.
Exactly. Chris Namath obviously will be serving an additional game suspension. So he's in question. Sporting has not done very well in scoring many goals. Chris Namath has been a part of that, you know, group that has, you know, contributed, I think, most to getting some points on the board. And, you know, Sporting KC, again, against a very, very good, solid Seattle Sounders team, is going to have their work cut out for them. But again, they're going to be at home. They're going to be sleeping in their own beds. They have prepared, I'm sure, this week for this Seattle team as best they can. So it's really going to come down to grinding it out for 90 plus minutes, like we have already talked about.
Yep, it was good to see Matt Beisler back last week. I thought he had an outstanding game, and I know he was on the Border Patrol with Steven and Nate and Jake earlier this week, and he said that loss last week was probably one of the more crushing of his career, just the way it unfolded and the position the team is in right now, just kind of crushing.
Yeah, and I've been on that end as well. It is not fun. And it really comes down to a mental exercise, honestly, Brad. You know that you've got to go out there. You've got to put in a good performance. Most guys have to, and I think that's part of the issue as well, right? It isn't a bad thing if, you know, one or two guys maybe has an off game. But when you have two, three, four guys that struggle, that make bad decisions at critical times, you know, that right there is a problem. So, and again, It hasn't been a part of Sporting KC's, you know, MO here of recent time. I would like to think that the guys in the locker room are having those conversations behind closed doors and saying, hey, you know what? Let's forget it. Let's learn from it. Let's move on. Because the season is long. It is grueling. So you can't really think too much about past games and past mistakes. As long as you learn from them, I think good things will happen.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards / Sporting KC defender, Sporting and Seattle Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nick, there is good news with Beasler coming back last week. The team will also get back Gianluca Busio and Tyler Freeman, who were with the U.S. Men's under-17 team down in Bradenton, Florida. And one of the things they're going to have to figure out as a professional, I know Busio is only 16 years old, but they'll have to figure out the grind. I mean, just because they got back from a national tournament doesn't mean they're going to get time off. They will have to be available tonight.
Yeah, and you know what? And Peter's the kind of guy who holds these guys super accountable. It doesn't really matter on their age, and he might be a little less inclined to kind of push them as hard as he would, say, a veteran coming back from, you know, an Olympic stint or a World Cup. But, you know, those guys are with those youth national teams because they have those abilities, those intangibles. You know, I really do like Busio and what I see from him out on the field, from what I understand. You know, he well has his head in the right place. So, and I think those things are some of the more difficult things to kind of hone in on. But, you know.
Yep, we may have lost Nick there. Yep.
Yeah, we lost him. I'll try to get him back.
Okay, we've been having a little issue with the phone, so we'll try to get Nick Garcia back because I really wanted to ask him about... Yeah, I got it. We got you back. All right. Fantastic.
All right, guys.
That's all right. We've had a little phone issue today, but we'll get it straightened out.
All good. Well, I don't know where I lost it, but all I was saying is that, you know, Busio's the kind of guy that has the mental strength, it seems, both on and off the field. You know, he does things the right way. And Peter's the kind of guy that will enable those guys to give the most. So, you know, my other point was that, you know, just because they're coming back from a national team event doesn't mean that they can coast now. If anything, Peter's going to challenge them and say, hey, you know what? You were with the best U-17s. Now you're one of the best MLS teams. How can you contribute? So those guys will be needed. They just need to be prepared.
All right, speaking with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender, Sporting in Seattle tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, Children's Mercy Park in KCK. With Seattle coming in, I know Matt Beasler also talked earlier this week about how much he has admired Chad Marshall as a defender in Major League Soccer and playing with the national team for so many years. And we kind of, I think we were looking forward to Chad Marshall coming to play a game in Kansas City, but he announced his retirement this week. He's got an injury and just doesn't think he can come back for it. He's played 16 years. But as a fellow defender, what would you say about Chad Marshall's career, both in Major League Soccer and with the national team?
I think unbelievable. You know, I remember when he had come out of, and I think he might have gone to Stanford or UCLA, somewhere there in California. He was with the Columbus Crew. He was just one of these stocky, stubborn defenders, you know, and being of that same mindset, I think he was one of the guys that also helped to, you know, kind of improve our defensive line, you know, because I think up until, let's say, Chad and definitely Beasley and others, you know, you had guys like an Eddie Pope, a Greg Berhalter were of a different build and a different mindset. So I think all those things, you know, kind of changed when Chad came into the U.S. national team picture. He did his job. He was a very good role player. And look at all the other defenders that have kind of come in now after Chad and Beasler and being able to contribute to this new dynamic of what Greg Berhalter is trying to create.
All right, final couple of things for you. Women's World Cup is going to start up here very shortly. In fact, I'm getting emails about it already. Kind of your thoughts as the team is getting ready to head in, the women's team, and how far you think they go in this tournament? I'm always thinking gold medal or, you know, top prize.
Absolutely.
But what kind of your thoughts on where the U.S. women are right now as they get ready to embark on another World Cup run?
I think they're in a dangerous position, right? I think there are a lot more formidable opponents now currently than you've probably really ever had. You know, you can always say, yes, you know, the U.S. women's national team is going to be a contender. I think that's an easy one. But look at, you know, the other, you know, let's say the French, let's say obviously the Brazilians. For me, I think the Spanish are probably one of the other good groups of players. You know, and the women's game has changed. You know, the soccer federations have put a lot more money and onus on these women's national teams. You know, you look at the women's leagues in France, England, Germany, and Spain. They are tied to the men's game. I still think we need something like that in this country to help the women's game along. So, you know, my mindset is that, yes, the U.S. women should be competing for the final. But the reality is this might be one of the toughest years just because there are so many other great teams out there.
Yeah, the only thing I'm disappointed about right now is the fact that the Women's World Cup final and the Gold Cup final are going to be on the same day. And it's really
disappointing. I don't get it.
It's really disappointing, and Grant Wall from Sports Illustrated did an interview with the person who makes these decisions, and he, well, that's how it works out, and I just think that's I think FIFA, if they ever want to do something right, figure out how to do that and not have the two major championships between men and women on the same day. It just doesn't.
Well, you know, and here's another one, if you want to kind of throw some more shade at that. You know, they've also had the women's national teams play on turf when the men don't.
Yes.
So there are a lot of, you know, things that are out of balance. And again, I just hope that, to your point, things change because the women's game is respectable. It is legitimate. So let's not treat it any different.
All right, Nick Garcia, thank you very much. I'm sure you got a long day of coaching and taking care of stuff down at Swope Park. You got foot golf coming up. That should be fun. I appreciate your time, and we'll be watching Sporting tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
All right, Brad. Sounds good. And get your sunscreen on.
Absolutely. I looked out the window, and I'm definitely going to need it.
All right.
Thanks, Nick. All right. That is our good friend Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards, Sporting KC defender, Sporting and Seattle, Sunday at 5 o'clock, live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah, if you follow Major League Soccer or the national team, Chad Marshall is a huge impact on this league. And I know a lot of fans may not know who he is, but if you follow soccer, you definitely know who he is. Good stuff. He just reached the point with too many injuries. He had to step out. So hopefully Sporting gets a little healthier. They don't have the list of 10 injured players like they've had for the past 3 weeks. They've got five definitely out, five are questionable, but they get Gianluca Busio back.
Yeah, I think it's huge that they have Busio back for this match. Someone up top that can create chances and be a finisher. He had a great outing with the U-17 men's national team. So
he had
he's playing
six assists or something like that.
He had a lot of goals too. Yeah, I don't know the number of goals, but he was from what I heard and the feedback I saw on like Twitter and whatnot. Yeah. He performed very well. He was in form for that. So hopefully, man, they really need
something good to happen.
They definitely, especially these home matches, you have got to get W's, because going on the road in MLS is not an easy task, especially Sporting playing in the Western Conference. Some of these, you know, going West Coast, it's pretty tough.
Yep, absolutely. On that note, we will take a quick timeout, and then we will come back and head to our final half hour before we hit baseball tonight at noon, which means we'll be here for another hour with that as well. We might talk, we'll mix it up in the next segment. We might talk a little, we haven't done any NBA today. I think it's been good stuff. So, quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's a feel-good jam right there.
Toots and the Maytals will be at Crossroads tonight. So if you're looking for something fun to do, hopefully the rain stays away, but be a good time for anybody that likes to go to shows. I don't know, really likes to go see live music.
I heard the guys on the Border Patrol talking about that show this week, and Steven's trying to get everybody down there for the show. I don't know who's all going, but
it's going to be awesome.
Awesome stuff. Let me wrap up one Sporting thing real quick, since we just wrapped up with Nick Garcia. Our good friend Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, just tweeted out some injury updates, so I'll give that to you here. Jimmy Madranda should be available tonight on the bench, or rather Sunday night on the bench. Fontas, Graham Zusi, and Jerso Fernandez will wrap up their training next week. Might be available for one of those games next week. And then the team's injury list, no timetable. Hurtado, Espinoza, Lindsay, and Wallace, all a very long way out. Christian Namath out after last week's red card. Busio and Quazay in consideration to start there. So that's your update from Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, for you Sporting KC fans. So what? Oh, we were going to talk a little NBA, and then I want to also get into this Art Briles thing, which it's one of those head-shaking things, whatever. So tonight's game in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference Finals, 7:30, you can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Raptors and Bucks. I got to be honest with you, Chris. When the Bucks were up 2-0 and watching Giannis just dominate the way he did, and the supporting cast around him, too, just dominating, I thought this series was over.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who agreed with that sentiment. The Raptors just did not look like they had an answer for Giannis driving to the lane and dishing to Chris Middleton.
Middleton's been great.
Middleton's been good. Brooke Lopez can hit outside shots. Eric Bledsoe.
Yep.
Brogdon has also been very, very good for the Bucks as well. But Kawhi Leonard has put this team on his shoulders, both sides.
Yep.
Matching up in that third game with Giannis, giving him fits. They're going to like a 1-2-2 kind of zone to really pack it in the lane. And they are just going to say, okay, Giannis, we're going to double team you. We're going to clog up the lane. We're not going to make it easy for you to get to the lane and impose your dominance in the paint. So I think the Raptors have done a phenomenal job on the defensive side of the ball. That's where it started for them,
right?
And that's where they really picked it up, on the defensive side of the ball. And you're seeing why Kawhi is back in his San Antonio days, you know, in 13 and 14, why he was such a coveted asset, and why there was, you kind of forgot about him because of everything that went down in San Antonio last year with him sitting out and is he healthy or not and that whole fiasco. But now he's kind of resurrected himself as being a top five player in the league in these playoffs with the Raptors.
You watch him play and you just wonder how things got so sideways in San Antonio that you lose one of the best players in the league. The guy just doesn't want to play. I don't know what happened. I don't think anybody's really going to know what happened. Was he faking his injury? Was it not as bad as they thought? I don't know. Toronto now leading the series 3-2, and they are a, let's see, Toronto is a 2-point favorite tonight. The game being in Toronto, obviously. 2-point favorite.
I don't disagree. I think it's going to be a very close game. Toronto, you got to give them the home court advantage. That place is rocking. Toronto is a tough environment to play in. They really get it. Canada is the hockey. It's a hockey country. It's the hockey capital of the world. Some people might say Russia is also on that list, but Canada, that is hockey. It's all the mecca for hockey. But this, since the Toronto Raptors came and Vince Carter came and Vince Sanity and Tracy McGrady was there as well, this franchise really embodies what Toronto is.
Right.
And Toronto has now become such a diverse city with people from all over the world living there.
It's
a very transplanted-oriented city. It is a team that people get behind, and they love that. If you watch, even in the freezing cold, the Jurassic Park area that they have outside where people watch, it is packed.
Yes.
For all the games. They love it. It's like kind of like that Oklahoma City atmosphere and that is in Toronto. And I'm liking the Raptors right now. I mean, maybe it's just recency bias and just I don't know if Giannis has an answer because he doesn't have an outside shot. He can't shoot threes.
Nope.
So he's really going to have to rely on his teammates to make plays tonight. And if the Bucks aren't hitting outside shots, if those supporting guys aren't making plays for Giannis, and if he has the amount of turnovers he's had in these past couple of games, it could end tonight. I honestly think it could.
I can't wait to watch or listen to it on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know what you could do? You could watch the game, turn the volume down,
and listen to the radio.
Radio
broadcasts are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, granted, like, there's been a lot of debate about this that I've seen on Twitter. Should Marv Albert still be on the number one call for TNT?
Sure.
Or some people are saying Kevin Harlan should get the move up just because I think, I don't know, I, I've always loved Marv Albert, like in terms of a broadcaster. His classic NBA calls, especially when he's on, if you watch historical games like the 90s NBA on NBC.
No, I love Marv Albert. Yeah.
But there's been talk about, you know, should it be Kevin Harlan or Marv Albert? But I'm fine with either, but I guess it's just because Kansas City bias.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan, awesome. So
Kevin did a couple of nice things for me when I was a kid and I was trying to get into broadcasting, and so I'm always going to be loyal to Kevin Harlan. So again, Raptors Bucks tonight, 7:30, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Winner gets the Raptors win. They'll move on to play the Warriors, and then that finals will not be done until third week of June. Something like that.
Yeah, it usually gets done around Father's Day. It's usually when the finals wrap up. Kind of usually the NHL playoffs is usually a few days before the end of the NBA finals.
Mm-hmm. All right, I wanted to hit on this Art Briles story. Okay, former Baylor coach, won a couple of conference championships with Baylor, and then all hell broke loose. Charges of covering up sexual assaults by the players. A lot of folks on campus lost their jobs, including Art Briles. He claims he did not cover anything up. The NCAA is still investigating. So they tried to, was it Southern Mississippi tried to hire him a couple of years ago until, yeah, Southern Mississippi. Jay Hobson tried to bring him in as the offensive coordinator, and the AD said, absolutely not. We're not bringing that you-know-what show to campus. You're not doing that. So then he goes up to Canada, coaches in the Canadian League up there, can't get a job. Well, he's got a job. Art Briles has a job. Hired as the head football coach. It's a long school name here. It's a high school. It's called it's the Mount Vernon Independent School District, and the name of the school is... of course, I lose it right then, right when I'm looking for it.
It's in Texas, I'm pretty sure.
It's in East Texas, yeah. So he's back at school at some independent school. I cannot believe.
It's beside the point. The school is beside the point. It's more about why hiring a guy that it's pretty apparent from the track record of what happened at Baylor and the cover-ups and what lengths they went to do that and not protect students at Baylor University.
Right. And even if he didn't actively cover up these sexual assaults, there's no way the head coach didn't know. When there's 17 accusations, there's no way the head coach doesn't know. I'm not buying it.
I think there was 55 accusations.
For the whole campus?
During his time.
Okay. The story here on ESPN.com says the investigation found at least 17 women who were being assaulted by 19 football players. But in total, the campus was...
It was a lot. Like, overall, it was a lot.
So if you're a parent, most of these people who make these decisions are parents, right? Or the school boards, or, you know, athletic directors, whatever. What went through these people's minds to decide, here's a good idea, let's hire Art Briles? I get it. He coached high school football in Texas for 20 years. I understand. He's very successful. He went to college. Very successful. I get it. But just knowing what you know, how did the people on this school board, or whoever made the final call, who sat around voting and all nodding in agreement, like a bunch of lemmings, this sounds like a really good idea. I don't think it's going to have any backlash. There'll be no negative ramifications. There'll be no protests outside the stadium. All of that's going to happen. This high school's now on they're on ESPN.com. They're on SportsCenter because they hired a coach with a very troubled background. And that's putting it mildly.
Well, and Baylor also, even before that, with their basketball coach in the early 2000s.
Big 12 should have launched this school a long time ago.
I think Myron Medcalf on Twitter.
They should have never been in the Big 12 in the first place.
Myron Medcalf on Twitter is saying, talking about any conference, like from your favorite school's conference, who would you get rid of? The first, 144 replies were Baylor.
Yeah.
And then there was one random San Jose State.
Saying what?
One was San Jose State. There was it was like a 144 right. comments about, because everyone knows the track record of Baylor, and it has been very highly publicized. And I was in Fort Worth, and I went to school, and Baylor was only an hour away. But that was – Baylor is just not good. Not good. And what their track record with what's gone on with the football program, and then earlier on in when they had the thing with the basketball coach in the early 2000s, not a good look for your program.
No.
And the women's basketball coach, I think, was even backing Briles at one point.
I'm sure. They all circle the wagons.
What?
They all circle the wagons. It's like when Tom Izzo and the people at Michigan State tried to protect their school president. They fired him after that scandal up there. So here's what they said. So Art Briles gets this job, 2-year contract. And the spokesperson, whoever this is, Jason McCullough. He's the superintendent of this school district. Jason McCullough says this to ESPN Central Texas A&M Radio. Quote, this is about Art Briles, okay? Quote, "We believe we hired an exceptional coach who comes with strong references from his previous employers. He has been forthright and honest with us, and we believe that he will be able to use his life experiences to teach our young people how to deal with hardships, go through adversity, and develop strong character." That's what they said about Art Briles. That's what this guy said about Art Briles. There's only one thing that they're interested in, and that's winning football games. Because if you believe that about Art Briles, you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because Art Briles was like a very religious guy at Baylor, and Baylor's a very religious school. Like you, mm-hmm. I knew a few people that went there, and they said you have to do like Bible study and all this because it's a Baptist university.
Sure.
And how does that embody your mission as a university? Like, mm-hmm. what does that say? Like, it just says that this is more important than the safety of students and whatnot. But I'm going to go back. This probably occurs at other schools too.
Sure.
In terms of cover-ups we've seen a cover-up.
Absolutely.
So it's not only a Baylor thing. It's a college, especially with when you were talking about Tom Izzo and everything that happened at Michigan State. If you're winning, or even at Penn State too,
mm-hmm.
if you're winning football games or winning basketball, that's all that matters to them. It's not about It's all about the money that comes in from that. And it's just sad because it probably happens at a higher rate than we might expect.
Okay. Let me just put this out here. So Briles has insisted he did not cover up reports of assaults by his players. That's what he says, but the NCAA is still investigating. Okay, if you believe Art Briles, if you're the superintendent and you believe Art Briles, do you want to hire a coach who is currently under NCAA investigation to come to your high school, considering what's been said to have happened at Baylor? Is that the look you want? It's the state of Texas, for crying out loud. You can probably walk down the street and find a qualified football coach any city in the entire state. But this school wants to go and hire Art Briles. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I wonder how many parents at the school knew that this vote was taking place before it happened, or before this hiring happened. How many parents? If your parent, I don't care if you're parents of girls, boys, whatever. What's been alleged about Art Briles, do you want that coming to your school? Shaping and forming the lives of young people?
No. Of course not, no.
There's got to be more to this story here. Either Art Briles is buddies with this guy, or he's got some friends on the team and the coaching staff who was able to, they were able to swing a deal to get him to this high school. I think there's going to be more to this story. And
there's always more to every story in terms of how, you know, people come into power, or people get hired or whatnot. I'm sure in the coming days, because this is going to be talked about on like Outside the Lines.
Absolutely,
and
it
all
is.
Of these all of any programming, even national news might talk about it as well. That doesn't focus on sports because it's bigger than sports.
They're gonna have protests outside the school. They're gonna have protests at football games. I'm guessing. I'm not saying 100% that's going to happen, but I would imagine that'll happen. Maybe you'll have schools that don't want to play you. Whatever the NCAA finds out, that's fine. But he is still under NCAA investigation. Is that how important high school football is to this one Texas school?
If you ever drive around Texas, the biggest thing.
No, I've seen it. You had 60, 70, 80,000 seat stadiums to watch high school football. I get it. I just didn't think it was this damn important. You want to go out and hire Art Briles? Hard pass for me. There's two rants today. Wow. Okay. How about something
Keep
a little more
going.
Positive? How about, of course, I always mention this. Whenever you have free agent football players, the National Football League, sometimes fans treat it like it's fantasy football. Well, we'll just go get somebody. They're available. They fit. How about Gerald McCoy, formerly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? He's on the dinner circuit right now. He went to meet with John Dorsey in Cleveland last night. Said he just wants to play for a winner. He left today without a deal, and now his next stop is Baltimore, which might be a good fit for him. He's maybe his numbers are down a little bit. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about the Chiefs kicking the tires on this. I imagine you do your due diligence, see what he's interested in. He was scheduled to make about $14 million this year.
Yeah, I mean,
the Buccaneers wouldn't said they couldn't work it out.
It all depends. Definitely with Chris Jones, that being up in the air, you don't know what is going through the front office's mind in terms of when is that deal probably going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe their whole plan is just to franchise him after the season. And if you franchise him, maybe put him on the trading block. Who knows what Brett Veach is thinking, because they went out, got Frank Clark.
Got Tyrann Mathieu.
Veach is not afraid to make big splashes. Mm-hmm. And that has been apparent in free agency.
They had... McCoy was scheduled to make $13 million this year, and the Buccaneers just said they couldn't work it out. It's just something to keep your money on. Brett Veach is pretty good about running through the numbers and getting in contact with the guys he likes. So Gerald McCoy, I don't know.
I just think it's interesting because Steve Spagnuolo, at least when you watch, like when he was with the Giants as their defensive coordinator, when they won their Super Bowls, a lot the Chris Jones mold seems to fit.
Mm-hmm.
A longer, athletic guy who can move, kind of like an OC
Umanyora-esque
type of player. Even Michael Strahan, even though I think Michael Strahan had a little more beef on him, or maybe
he's
not,
a big,
but
he's a big
they
cat.
Were. But it's gonna be interesting to see with mandatory minicamp in June, will Chris Jones be there? Will he not? Will the Chiefs post June 1 be in talks with the agent?
Still could have a Patrick Peterson possibility as well.
But it's going to be fun here because, as I said before, they still have not addressed corner heavily.
Right.
Like I thought they would. So, I don't know. It's still so early.
Mm-hmm.
Still a long time till training camp. Is this the team, the defense? It's much vastly improved from
yes.
last season. But if you want to take that next step, I would just like to be a little more sure at corner.
Well, McCoy is 31 years old now. Last season had 6 sacks and a team-leading 21 quarterback pressures for the Buccaneers. His career, 54.5 sacks in 123 games. Not bad numbers, but just... not sure that would fit in Kansas City. But again, whenever a big name comes up, whether they're on their tour or they just get cut, it's always the fantasy football mentality. Got to get that guy. So I'm not seeing it, but I'll wait and see. He's got the Browns and the Ravens knocking on the door. All right, on that note, we'll take a quick timeout, and we'll come back and wrap up hour number three, and then we'll charge right up through noon, and then we'll start baseball tonight. It will be a seamless transition, one show to another. Quick timeout, as I said, you're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and finally, some sunshine as you listen to Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's a catchy tune. I like that. Who is this?
This is one Beck. The song is called Dreams.
It sounds an awful lot like Beck.
Beck, just, he's awesome. I love Beck. He always does, every album, it's different, and I love it.
Oh, he's fantastic. Just terrific stuff.
How about that last ad for National Geographic?
I was just going to talk to you about that.
Liam Neeson.
Juliana Margulies.
Ebola coming. What did they call the hot?
The hot zone.
The hot zone.
When it first hit the shores of the United States. It's my horrible Liam Neeson accent. Juliana Margulies is in this?
I guess. I have not heard anything about this. Monday night, DVR that. Check your local listings. 9 o'clock on National Geographic.
Wow, hot zone. All about Ebola. That's what I want to
watch. Ebola coming to the United States. That's just going to really freak everyone out.
On a national holiday, we're going to run out a show called The Hot Zone, All About Ebola. Okay. All right. I had a little crush on Juliana Margulies.
Yeah?
Did you ever get into The Good Wife?
No.
Oh, that was so good. That whole cast was just so good.
I think I'm going to start The Wire here pretty soon again, because I watched 2 seasons of it, and then I stopped. It was phenomenal when I was watching it. I think I got through 2 seasons, but then I had to go back to school.
Right.
And so I didn't watch TV for like a while because I was busy and whatnot. But now that Game of Thrones has ended, I think I'm going to get back into The Wire as the summer starts.
I might have to do that. I haven't watched The Wire since the last episode. And it's one of those shows where you really have to watch it in order. In sequential order, because if you hop in the middle, you'd be like, who's that guy? He killed who? Okay, he's a drug dealer, but he's a cop, or he's a dirty... What?
Yeah, From what I watched, it was great.
So. All right, so you brought up Game of Thrones. I didn't have it on my list today, but let's go ahead and have it. Your reaction to the series finale.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
You've
had a week to think about it.
It is what it is. I know a lot of people were mad about it, but... We knew going into it, it was going to be a 6-episode season.
Right.
It was probably going to be crammed. I felt like it was rushed. But, hey, I kind of had a feeling that Bran, as I said last week, was going to be heavily involved in this episode. And he is now ruling the Iron Throne. The Starks kind of went their separate ways.
You kind of saw that one coming.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
think people are just so, they had these preconceived notions of what the ending was, and they had it all hyped up in their head, and then it didn't happen,
right.
And it severely disappointed them. And of course, the writing hasn't been as good as in the first, 5 seasons,
right.
But it's still, hey, you just live with it. It happens, and there's a lot of series finales or last seasons that people have had problems with, and it's just because it's been magnified because of how good, well, the show has done,
right.
And there's social media. I can't imagine when Sopranos had their season finale.
Nope, no social media.
If there was social media and how upset people would have been.
Oh, sure. One of my predictions almost came right. I predicted Arya would kill Daenerys, and it turns out it was Jon Snow. I thought that was pretty fitting. If you were going to end one character, that was a fitting way to do it. Arya going off to wherever she's going, Sansa doing whatever she's ruling the North. I thought that was a weird decision. We're not going to be in the Seven Kingdoms anymore. We're just going to be by ourselves. And Bran, I'm sorry. Yes, he was predicted by all the odd sites to be the guy, but that was that Tyrion said, well, there's nobody has a better story than Bran. I'm like, literally everybody else on the show had a better story than Bran. And I tweeted out, you know, as Tyrion said, no one has a better story than Bran. Arya's got to be thinking, okay, well, I learned a sword fight when I was a kid. I went and visited the Faceless Man on my own. I've taken out all of my enemies. I just killed the Night King. I think my story's a little better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be one of those people who's going to be like, complain about the ending. That's just not me. I just am glad that I was able to watch the show and enjoy it. And even if I wasn't fully happy with, you know, how it may have ended up or how rushed it felt, hey, it happened. And on to the next thing, on to the next show that I will embark upon, whatever that may be or whenever it may be.
If they were going to leave a little nugget for you to think about now that the regular series is over and they're going to go to the prequels, I thought Tyrion sitting at the table at the end with all the other guys, including Bronn, I don't know why he's back, but I thought that setup, to me, that told me that Tyrion's going to be running the show. Because Bran kind of wheeled in there
Delegation.
For a minute. Bran wheeled in and was like, all right, you guys can handle it. I'm out of here. So Tyrion is going to be controlling most of it.
It's okay.
All right, we're going to thank most of our guests, or all of our guests. We had Adam Teicher from ESPN.com on talking Chiefs football. We had Patrick Brennan on for the first time, managing editor and founder of Royals Farm Report, talking a little Major League Baseball draft. And Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and
fun
Wizards
times.
Defender. So we will wrap up this show, but we're not going anywhere. No, no. Chris and I got to come back and do baseball tonight.
We're
going
to get after it on baseball tonight.
Yeah, we are.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be throwdown. You've been listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig ran your show today. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.